Heavenly Father, we bless you and we appreciate you. Thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness towards us. We appreciate you for your mercy and your grace upon our lives. Thank you because the Bible says, for your mercy we are not consumed, your compassion they fail not, and they are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness. Lord, we are grateful unto you for making us to be recipient of your mercy, for making us to be recipient of your compassion. We give you all the glory, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you because the Bible says, the mountain shall depart and hill be removed, but your kindness shall not depart from us, nor your covenant of peace be taken away. Thank you, O Lord, for your kindness towards us as individuals, as families represented in your church, as a church. Lord, we are grateful unto you for the covenant of peace. Thank you for the covenant of life. Thank you, O God, Lord, even for the covenant of divine earth. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you for the covenant of divine provision. We bless your name, our Father. I shall pray our thanks in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father, even for bringing us together again through this forum. Lord, we do not take this for granted. Lord, because we are not just alive, but we are ill and earthy. And Lord, you have given us the grace. We have found grace and favor in your sight, even to be in your presence at this time. Lord, we are grateful. The Bible says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasure forevermore. Thank you, Lord, because there is no other, oh God, there is no best place to be than in your presence. We are grateful. Lord, as we have come unto you again this time, Lord, let us be partaker of the fullness, O God, Lord, of your pleasure and of your joy in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we hear your word this hour, Lord, the Bible says you send forth your words, it heals us and it delivers us from all our destruction. We are asking from you, O Lord, let your words bring healing. Let it bring, O God, deliverances in the name of Jesus. Let it bring salvation of soul in the name of Jesus. Lord, through your word, let captive, O God, be set free in the name of Jesus. Let, O God, the prisoner be released in Jesus' name. And let, O God, the discouraged be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Lord, let it, O God, Lord, those who are, O God, Lord, brokenhearted receive healing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We are grateful unto you. Lord, I declare your lordship, O God, even upon our, O God, Lord, even guiding through this Zoom platform this hour in the name of Jesus. Lord, glorify yourself in Jesus' name. The Bible says, the Lord my God has given me the tongue of the learned to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Say, morning by morning, he awakes my ear. Morning by morning, he awakes me to hear as the learned. Lord, I pray, O Lord, you will open my ears even to hear and you open my mouth to speak accordingly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. We pray, O Lord, let, O God, your people be blessed today in Jesus' name and let all the glory be yours in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We are grateful unto you because you are ever faithful. Blessed be your Holy Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. We are all welcome in Jesus' name. This morning we are going to be listening to a message that is titled Follow Me. Follow Me. And I'm sure that we have seen this in the Bible so many times. We might even have heard it from people, you know, saying, follow me. So it's a common, you know, phrase, follow me. But let's look at what the Bible says, where the text is taken. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that talked about follow me. But we are using this particular one, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. That's what we are using. Matthew chapter 4, from verse 18 to 20. The Bible says, and Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brothers. Saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. For they were fishermen, he said to them, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Praise the Lord. If we pay close attention to verse 19, the Bible says, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And verse 20 says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Praise the Lord. Before we begin to elaborate more on this, follow me. Verse 18 talked about something very, very important there. He said, for they were fishermen. In verse 18, the Bible says, for they were fishermen. And verse 19 says, I will make you fishers of men. So those two words are very, very important to what we're about to discuss this morning. So I want us to quickly look at the difference between fisherman and fisher of men. Fisherman and fisher of men. So what is the difference between these two? Fisherman, according to, if you look at dictionary, it says a person who catches fish for a living or a sport. That is the, you know, the definition of a fisherman. So I wish all of us will agree with. So somebody who catches fish for a living or for pleasure, for sport, whatever it is, that person is called fisherman. And again, catching fish is only for earthly benefit. So there is no amount of fish that you can catch that can qualify you to go to heaven. So catching fish is only limited to this earthly benefit. Let's see what Jesus Christ said in the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 26 to 27. John chapter 6, from verse 26 to 27. It says, Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Praise the Lord. If we, you know, backtrack a little bit and we read the story very well, we remember that Jesus Christ fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And thereafter, the Bible tells us the next day, they were looking for him. And Jesus Christ told them this. He said, do not labor for the food that perishes, but instead, he told them, you know, not to labor for the food that perishes, but they should labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. So Jesus Christ does not have any problem with us, you know, catching fish. But he's telling us that those, if we catch fish, no amount of fish that we catch will take us to heaven. So he has something more important. So men seek Jesus for various reasons, as we have seen in the life of those people. You know, after Jesus Christ fed them, they started looking for him. And Jesus Christ saw through their heart. He said, the reason why they are after him is because of what they want to enjoy. Because of the bread, because of the fish. So Jesus Christ wants us to pursue something that is more important, something that is more valuable, even for our lives. Now, let's quickly look at the meaning of fisher of men. The meaning of fisher of men. Obviously, we may not find this in the dictionary, but there are so many scriptures that talk about this. So in my own understanding, it could mean an ambassador of Christ, an ambassador of Christ, or a soul winner. So fisher of men can be an ambassador of Christ or a soul winner. Someone that God uses to transform lives or restore hope into hopeless lives. So if you are a fisher of man, then, or you are a fisher of men, you are an ambassador of Christ, you are a soul winner. Again, you can be on it, it can mean an agent of revival, an instrument of restoration. And let's look at the life of Peter. We remember that Jesus Christ called Peter in the book of Matthew chapter 4 that we just read. The Bible says he called Peter and Andrew, his brother, and he told them, I want to make you fisher of men. He said, the Bible says, for they were fishermen. Now Jesus Christ wants to transform their lives. But let's see what Jesus Christ did with the life of Peter. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. The Bible tells us that then Peter said, Peter, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So we're beginning to have an understanding of what it means to be a fisher of men. Peter used to be a fisherman, but now after he encountered Jesus, he became a fisher of men. It's the same Peter now has that boldness to say that silver and gold I do not have, but such I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. He became an agent of revival. He became an instrument of restoration. He began to restore hope into hopeless lives. God began to use him to transform lives. And again, if we go further, in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible tells us that Peter preached a message that 3,000, about 3,000 souls were added to the church in a single day. There was a great revival, and God used Peter even to bring about 3,000 souls even to the kingdom of God on a single day. So we can see the difference between the fisherman or fishermen and fishers of men. So in other words, when Jesus Christ said, follow me, Jesus Christ has something at the back of his mind. If I just meet you on the way now and say, follow me, if we are very, very familiar or you trust me so much, you may not, you know, probe further to say, okay, where are we going? But in your mind, there will be so many questions. And if I'm a stranger to you, you are going to demand, follow you to where? Follow you to where? So I'm sure these are some of the questions that we may be asking, or we, some of us, may already know the answer. But when Jesus Christ said, follow me, he has a target. He wants to transform our lives, just as he has done with the life of Peter here. And he has done so with the life of many people, including you, including man, and he still wants to transform lives. Now, many of us, you know, we are familiar with this phrase that says, follow us on social media. Follow us on social media. Either through Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Many of us, we are very familiar with this. I'm not saying there's a problem in doing that. But however, you must know whom you are following. And you must have some questions in your mind. Can they add any value to your life? Can they add any value to your life before you begin to follow somebody? So we all see this. Follow us on social media. So what are you following them to do? Those are the questions you need to ask yourself. So people follow people on social media for various reasons. But Jesus Christ is saying, follow me. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, he said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So if you want to follow somebody, make sure you follow somebody that is taking you in the right direction, that can transform your life, that can do something valuable with your life. And that is Jesus. So Jesus Christ is saying, follow me. So, and he wants to transform your life. So we'll quickly look at three requirements to follow Jesus. three requirements to follow Jesus. Three requirements to follow Jesus. Number one, immediate response. Immediate response. Matthew chapter 4, verse 20, the text that we read earlier, he said, they immediately left their nets. So if we are going to follow Jesus, there must be an immediate response. We are all familiar with first responders, such as, emergency medical responder, EMR, or EMS, emergency medical services, paramedics, firefighters, and police. They all respond immediately to emergency. There is no time for them to waste. Why? Because they want to save life. Because lives are at stake here. So that is why we see them responding, responding with urgency. So in other words, the ministry of Jesus is to save lives, and it requires urgency. So if you are going to follow Jesus, you must learn to respond immediately. There is no time to waste. Jesus Christ is looking for first responder. And he wants to make me a first responder. Why? Because we want to save lives. All these people that I mentioned earlier, EMR, EMS, paramedics, firefighter, and police, that's why we see them blowing siren when there is emergency. There is no time to waste. Everything they have to do quickly so that they can save lives. And if that is the way it is in the realm of the physical, how much more when it comes to spiritual things? So God does not expect us to do less. He wants us to do more. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. He said, the sons of Issachar, who had an understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. They have an understanding of the time. They know what they ought to do. So time is very, very important when it comes to the ministry of Jesus. So if Jesus Christ is saying, follow me, so meaning that you cannot walk according to your own timing. You must walk according to his own timing, because time is very, very important. Immediate response. Number one qualification. Number one requirement. And no excuse or procrastination. No matter how legitimate your excuse or procrastination may be, it is not tenable before God. God is looking for people that will respond immediately, not the people that will keep giving excuse. Many a times we can justify our excuse, but before God, they are not acceptable, because we are talking about lives here. Just like those first responders, they don't have any excuse. Everything is ready to go. They have everything. Is it firefighter? They have their tank, everything ready. Once they use it, they make sure that they replace it. It is not the time that they need it that they will start looking for it. The paramedics, they have everything intact, ever ready to go. So the same thing God expects from you and I. We should be ready in and out of season. No excuse, no procrastination. Luke chapter 9, verse 59 to 62. Luke chapter 9, from verse 59 to 62. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Verse 60. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back his feet for the kingdom of God. We can see that Jesus Christ is very serious about this business of following him. And so if you are going to follow him faithfully, you must have immediate response. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 8. I will just quote the last part of it. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 8.
He says, king's business required haste. King's business required haste. How much more the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? His business required haste. I will quickly give us a testimony. Some years back, of course, this is a true life testimony. A born-again brother was working in an office in Lagos, Nigeria, and he had a colleague who would not, it was like an atheist. He did not want to hear anything about God. And this brother kept on praying for him every opportunity, even to meet, to preach the gospel to him. He will always take the advantage of it. But this fellow will not yield. There come a particular day that this brother was running for a service. It was late. And the fellow now called him. He said, can we have a chat? Can we talk about this, your Jesus? And this brother was surprised. Why is it that is it a time like this, a day like this, that you have chosen to come and hear the word of God? And of course, the brother eventually canceled his appointment and he stayed with him. And they began to, you know, talk. And at the end of the day, surprisingly to this brother, the fellow gave his life to Christ. That is not the end of the story. And this brother rejoiced. And that was it. He went, they both left the office and they went home. While this fellow who just gave his life to Christ was standing at the roadside waiting for a bus to catch to his destination, a trailer came and he ran over him and he was dead. This is a true life story. He was dead. And the brother who preached to him attended the funeral. And he saw a particular sister who was crying. And out of curiosity, he interacted with his sister. And the sister said, there is nothing I have not done. I have tried to preach to him, he will not listen. And this brother said, look, this person is in heaven because through the grace of God, I led him to Christ. He gave his life. And while on his way going home, he had that accident and he died. Look at that. We are talking about immediate response. You can imagine if the brother had said, well, I have an appointment in church. I have something very important to do. I'm going for Bible study. I'm going for this. And then he let go of that opportunity. That brother would have been rotting in hell. And even himself, the blood of that brother would have been upon him. It is my prayer that the blood of, you know, anyone will not be upon you, will not be upon me in Jesus' name. So we're talking about immediate response. We're talking about to save lives. When Jesus Christ said, follow me, he wants to make you a fisher of men. So he wants to, you know, make you an agent of revival. He wants to make you an instrument of restoration. He wants you to save life, to give hope to the hopeless lives. There are so many people out there that are hopeless, particularly even in a time like this, that many people are living on uncertainty. So many people have mixed feelings about life. Life does not make any meaning to them. They are looking for a restorer of hope. They are looking for somebody that will revive them. And God wants to use you, God wants to use me. And I pray that we will not fail him in Jesus' name. The second requirement, you must eliminate distractions. You must eliminate distractions. There are distractions can be internal or external. And sometimes this distraction, you know, it may look very genuine. But you have to learn how to eliminate them. It doesn't matter how genuine it looks. It can be very deceptive. But you must eliminate distraction if you are going to follow Jesus. And that was why Jesus Christ said that, he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Let's look at the story about Elijah. Elijah and Elisha. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19 to 21. 1 Kings chapter 19, from verse 19 to 21. The Bible says, so he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. The Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Verse 20. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. Let me quickly read Luke chapter 5 verse 11 also before I talk on both of them. Luke chapter 5 verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and follow him. They forsook all and follow him. So these people, they recognize that there are a lot of distractions on the way that will not allow them to be able to follow, you know, Jesus. In the case of Elisha, he quickly recognized this. Elijah didn't tell him, go and kill the oxen or whatever. But he recognized this, that these are distractions. I need to get rid of this first so that I will be able to focus, I will be able to concentrate and follow even Elijah, the man of God. And the same thing that Peter did, Peter that we mentioned earlier, the Bible says he forsook all and followed Jesus. He brought the boats to the land. Then they forsook all and followed him. So if you are going to follow Jesus, you must learn to eliminate distractions. You must make up your mind. You must decide to get rid of them. I don't know what distractions that you have around you, but I am praying that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, will open my eyes to see those distractions so that we can get rid of them. And it will allow us to be able to follow Jesus. Because Jesus Christ said, follow me. So you will not be able to follow Jesus, you know, effectively with full concentration as long as you have all those distractions around you. Distraction, like I said, it could be internal or external. We are looking at the external distraction now. It can be family members. And they may say your own is too much. Let's see the word of God again. I'm just going to paraphrase this to save our time. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 28 to 30. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 28 to 30. So when we have time, we can read that. David was a very young man. And then he went to the, you know, to the camp of Israel, where Philistine was threatening them day and night, harassing them. But David showed up. The brothers of David, they began to harass him. They said, what does he want? That why is he so proud and all of that? They wanted to discourage him, but David would not listen. He didn't argue with them. The Bible says he just turned away and he turned to other people. That is how to deal with distraction. You don't need to engage them in unnecessary argument. It can be friends, it can be relatives, it can be even, you know, it can be immediate family members. Let's see the life of Jesus in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 31 to 35. Mark, chapter 3, from 31 to 35. Then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. And a multitude was sitting around him, and they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brother? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and mother. That is how you deal with distractions. There is no excuse. These are the blood-related, you know, people to Jesus. Look at how he handled them. His own mother, his own brothers. The Bible says they were outside, but Jesus Christ was ministering to people. The ministry of Jesus is not about, you know, this is my relative. The only relative that Jesus Christ recognized are the people who sit together with him, preaching, you know, listening to him. These are the only relative that he recognized. So the blood of Jesus is powerful. It's thicker than the biological blood. So God does not expect us to introduce sentiment when it comes to the things of God. Look at what Jesus Christ told them. You can imagine you are preaching or you are in a church and an usher called you. Maybe you are listening to the word of God and they say, oh, your mother is outside. So what is your mother doing outside? What is your, you know, husband? What is your, you know, spouse? What are they doing outside? Your children, what are they doing outside? And they want to distract your attention. They're supposed to be where you are as well. So you should not be distracted. So you must eliminate distractions if you are to follow Jesus. Let's quickly look at internal distraction. Doubt and fear. Fear of the unknown. So many a times we suffer from this too. But it is my prayer that the Lord will deliver you, the Lord will deliver me in Jesus' name. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah told the people, he said, how long will you falter between two opinions? He said, if God be God, follow him. If bad be bad, follow him. You cannot keep one leg in and one leg out. Your two legs must be in one place at a time. It's not possible for you to say you want to put one leg in and one leg out. And in reality, that is what many people are doing. Jesus Christ is not looking for people like that. So he said, why do you falter between two opinions? And Elijah that was talking to them, he expected these people to know better because they have witnessed the power of God. They have witnessed the glory of God. They have, you know, partook of all of this. So you and I. And when situation comes, we begin to doubt him. God doesn't want us to behave like that. Many of us, we have given fantastic testimonies over the years. But when problems, challenges come, we begin to doubt. I am not saying that, you know, we cannot face challenges. We can face challenges, but we should not doubt, you know, the existence of God. That is the last thing we want to do. Don't doubt God. Don't begin to think, oh, is God existing? Don't blaspheme the name of God. It doesn't matter what you are going through. The Lord is there. All of us, we all go through one thing or the other. But one thing that you want to do is that make sure you do not doubt his lordship. Give yourself an assurance, even to the word of God. We have been learning about meditating on the word of God. Recall the word of God. Recall the beautiful things he has done for you in the past. Recall those fantastic testimonies. Recall deliverances he has done for you. Begin to appreciate him and drive doubt away from your heart. Fear of the unknown. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 to 12. God delivered the children of Israel from the hands of Pharaoh. He was taking them to promised land. Ordinarily, Pharaoh would not let them go. But because the mighty hand of God intervened, he left them under pressure. And the same Israelite, the Bible says this, they plunder the Egyptian. They demanded for articles of silver and gold. They saw the real manifestation of the power of God. But on their way, the Bible said they looked back and they saw Pharaoh, his sons and chariots approaching them. fear came upon them. We all experience this. It is okay for that fear to come upon them, but they needed to turn to God. But instead, what was their reaction? They began to speak against the name of God. They began to talk to Moses, their leader, anyhow, that it would have been better for you to leave us in that Egypt. And the same set of people that pray that God should come to their aid. They pray with agony. And the Bible says God heard them. He remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. And God delivered them. God sent a deliverer. The same set of people, they are on their way to promised land. They are not there yet, but God has done so many things. So I don't know what God has done in your life, but I have an assurance that at least God has done something for you, and he has done something for me. Let's not allow the fear of the unknown. There are so many uncertainties around us now. Nothing seems to look certain, but if you are in God, there is certainty. Because the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. So don't let the circumstances around you becloud your judgment. Don't let the enemy use the situation around you to create fear in your heart, to create doubt in your heart. So you must eliminate distractions. And again, how do you eliminate distraction? You must, you know, live a disciplined life. You must please God through a disciplined life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He said, no one engage in warfare, entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You see, the word soldier is coming up there because soldiers, you know, military, I'm not talking about spiritual one now, the physical one, they live a disciplined life. They don't carry unnecessary baggages. They eliminate distraction around them. They try to be as light as possible so that they can perform their function. So if you are going to follow Jesus, you must be like a, you know, spiritual soldier. You must live a disciplined life. Why? Because you want to please him that has called you. John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. If you are not a disciplined Christian, you cannot finish that work. And I pray you and I will finish the work God has given unto us in Jesus' name. You must learn to discipline yourself on a regular basis. Jesus Christ disciplined himself because he wanted to please his Father. So the same thing is expected of you and me. If we are going to please the one if we are going to follow him, we must learn to please him. Because he's the one that has called us, he said, follow me. So you must learn to please him. And you must learn to live a disciplined life. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said, not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which the Lord Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. Do you regularly ask yourself that, why has God saved you? But Paul understands very well. He said, not that I've already attained or perfected, but I press on so that I will be able to lay hold of that which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. God has saved you to do something. He's asking you to follow him. In the case of Peter and Andrew, he said, follow me, I will make you fisher of men. So he has a purpose, he has a goal, he has an assignment for you to be asking you to follow him. He wants to make, he wants to transform your life, and he wants to make you an instrument of restoration, instrument of transformation. He wants to make you an agent of change, even in our time. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 5, I mean John chapter 1, that Jesus Christ was in the world. The world was made through him. Your presence in this world, is God changing the world with it? These are the things we need to ask ourselves. Or the world is changing you into his own pattern. I pray that the world will not change you into his own pattern in Jesus' name. Because Jesus Christ was in the world. The Bible says the world was made through him. So God wants you to change the world by his special grace. And that is why he has called you, he has called me. He said, follow me. Praise the Lord. The third point is give him full control. You must give him full control. We have been looking at requirements to follow Jesus. Requirement to follow Jesus. We have looked at you must have immediate response. You must respond immediately. We have looked at you must eliminate distractions. And then the third one, you must give him full control. Give him full control. Again, what did he say? He said, I will make you fishers of men in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 4. He said, I will make you fishers of men. No other person. He was very, very specific about it. I will make you fishers of men. But there is a condition. You can't do it in your own ways. You must go my own way. So if you say hi, then that means you must surrender to him. You must give him full control of your life. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sitting at the right hand of our God. So the Bible called Jesus the author and the finisher of your faith. So you must recognize that he's the author and the finisher of your faith. But is that the way, you know, we respond to him when he's making some demand from us? Or do we say, well, it's only this aspect of my life I want to hand over to you? All of us, we keep saying, I have given my life to Christ. Have we actually? Some of us cannot even give our time to him. We cannot give our money. We cannot share our time. We cannot, you know, we keep all this thing back. We say, no, God, understand. You know, that 10% is too much. God, understand. You know, I can choose to give whatever I want to give. You know, God, understand, I don't really have much time. I have some business appointment. I remember a story that, you know, our general was here, that the Jew that he talked about, he has preached it over us so many times. There was a rich man that, you know, was talking to. He preached to him and the man would not listen. And he, of course, he left him. And some years later, he went to London in England and he saw the man on a wheelchair. And the man, the moment he saw the man, he greeted the man. The man said, Jesus is Lord. And Daddy Gio said, oh my goodness, it would have been better for you to say Jesus is Lord many years back when I was talking to you before the storm hit you. That time you were telling me that you wanted to enjoy life, you wanted to do everything before you have time for Jesus. Now, the storm has hit you so badly. And now you are saying Jesus is Lord. Of course, Jesus is still Lord, but it would have been a better situation if you have listened. So meaning that give God full control. Many of our times we say we don't have time. We don't have this. But you've forgotten that God owns the time. The same man that said he wanted to enjoy himself, he didn't have time. He was now on a wheelchair. He can study the Bible for so many hours because he's been confined to wheelchair. No time to be attending business meetings anywhere again. No time for partying or whatever. He can, and I pray that will not be our caution in Jesus' name. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Give him complete ownership of your life. Psalm 23, verse 1 that many of us we always quote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Have we really sat down to look at the meaning of a shepherd? What a shepherd does? What is the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep? Can the shepherd, control you? Can you tell you what to do? For many of us that grew up in Africa, and we have been to farm very well, and we have seen how a shepherd will lead, the sheep or the animals. They force them to go their own ways. So, but Jesus Christ is not that type of a shepherd that is going to force you. He wants you to willingly, hand over the ownership of your life to him. And that is when you can get the best out of him. So when he says follow him, you must equally learn to hand over the ownership of your life to him. He owns that life. He can take it whenever he wants, but he doesn't impose himself on you. But he gives you the opportunity to surrender it to him so that he can make the best out of your life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 to 30. Matthew chapter 11 from verse 29 to 30. We begin to round up now. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in earth, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my body is light." The Bible says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let my word be, control you. Let it tie around your neck. Let it control you everywhere you go to." We are learning about meditating on the word of God. Hear the word of God day and night. Meditate on it. When you hear it, make sure you practice what it says. Don't postpone it. Let it be your lifestyle. God expects you to make conscious effort to do all of this, because he's not going to do it for you. As you do it, he's going to support you through the help of his spirit. He said, "Take my yoke and learn of me." His own yoke, the Bible says, he said, "For my yoke is easy and my body is light." Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27 says that it shall come to pass that the yoke shall be taken away from your neck, the body from your shoulder, and the yoke shall be destroyed by the reason of anointing. So now Jesus Christ is a yoke destroyer. He destroyed the yokes of the enemy. And he put his own yoke upon you. His own yoke is so light. What he's asking you to do is rewarding. But the yoke of the enemy is damaging, is disruptive. So what do you have to lose by giving him the ownership of your life? And let his word control you. Let him guide you. Let him lead you. Jesus Christ said, "Follow me." John chapter 10, verse 27, as we round up, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Are you following Jesus? Or you are following your own ways? Or you are following a man? Or you are following the multitude? Or you are following the majority? Or you are following your own feeling? And you are following the world. But God said, "Follow me." He wants to make you fishers of men. He wants to make you an agent of revival. He wants to make you instrument that he will use to transform lives. And all of these are rewarding. I pray that the Lord will grant unto you and grant me understanding in Jesus' name. Let us pray. We'll quickly take a few prayer points. We read the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, from verse 19 to 21. He says, "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he led the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back, for what have I done to you?' So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen equipment, and gave it to the people and the air. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. You're going to pray. John 15, 16 say, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. So you're going to thank God. If you appreciate the fact that the Lord has saved you, thank God for reaching out to you and throwing at you the mantle of discipleship. Jesus Christ, you know, for reaching out unto you and throwing at you the mantle of discipleship. Not many people has that privilege. If you are a follower of Jesus, then Jesus Christ has thrown his mantle of discipleship upon you. Appreciate him, thank him. It is not by your work. It is not by your own ability. It's not by your experience. It is by the mercy of God. Thank him, appreciate him. Lord, we thank you. We are grateful unto you, even for your faithfulness and your mercy, O God, unto us and to your people. Lord, I thank you, O God, for reaching out unto me, for reaching out to my, you know, my household, for reaching out to my brethren, everyone in Jesus, Father, that has been saved, that has called our call by your name. We are grateful unto you, O God. Lord, we are not better than many who are still in the world, Lord, who do not know you. We thank you for showing us mercy. The Bible says the grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. Lord, we are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful unto you. Accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. As a church, oh God, this morning we say thank you. Blessed be your holy our Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Psalm 119 verse 18. It says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. By the Spirit of God, the eyes of Elisha were open. And he said, let me, the Bible says that he said, let me go back and, you know, say to my father and my mother, let me bid them goodbye. And the Bible says he took a yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them and he boiled them. God opened his eyes. Begin to pray. That Father, open my eyes to see hindrances that will not allow me to be a true disciple of Jesus. Every hindrance that will not allow you to be a true disciple of Jesus. Pray to God to open your eyes. As we pray to him, he's able to open your eyes and you will see them. Some of those hindrances, except you pray, you may not be able to see them. Pray that the Lord will open your eyes and you will see them. Pray for yourself, pray for your brethren. In the name of Jesus, Almighty Father, Lord, I pray, oh Lord, as the eyes of Elisha, oh God, were open, even to see hindrances that would not allow him to be a true disciple. Lord, I pray, oh Lord, open my eyes, oh God, to see any hindrance, oh God, Lord, that will not allow me to be a true disciple of Jesus. I pray for every member of my household. I pray for all my brethren, my brothers, my sisters, oh God, in Jesus' palace. Lord, we join our faith together this morning. Open our eyes, oh Lord, that we will see those hindrances, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every hindrance, oh God, that may not be clear to us, Lord, open our eyes to see them, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Luke chapter 19, verse 27. Luke chapter 19, verse 27. He said, but bring here those enemies of man who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. That was exactly what Elisha did. The Bible says he took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He slaughtered all of them. So you are going to pray that that Father, slaughter every enemy of my destiny. What are those enemies of your destiny? When I say enemy of destiny, I'm not talking about a human being. We are talking about so many things. It can be ungodly habits. It can be ungodly association. It can be procrastinations. It can be worldly pleasure. It can be secret sin. It can be indiscipline. It can be prayerlessness. Name them. It can be anything. Begin to pray that the Lord will slaughter them in your life, in my life, in the life of our bread. That the Lord will slaughter them. Because he said, bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them and slay them before me. Lord, we plead with you, O God, this morning. Every enemy of our destiny, oh God, that will not allow us to follow you. Every enemy of my destiny that will not allow me to follow you, oh Lord, faithfully. Every enemy, oh God, of my destiny, of every member of my household, that will not allow them to follow you faithfully. Lord, I bring them before you, oh God, this morning. Lord, slaughter them in the name of of Jesus. It could be all God ungodly habit. It could be ungodly assistance. It could be procrastination. It could be worldly pleasure. It could be secret sin. It could be discipline, prayerlessness. In the life of my brethren, every member of Jesus' palace, Lord, we bring all those, oh God, Lord, over us before you this morning. Slaughter them by the sword of the Spirit. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Spirit, slaughter them and destroy them in our lives. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, empower us, oh Lord, to follow you, oh Lord, faithfully. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We appreciate you because you are faithful. Thank you because you are merciful. Thank you because you are gracious. Thank you because faithful are you that have called us that we should follow you. You said we should follow you and you will make us fishers of men. Lord, we thank you. What a privilege to be an ambassador of Christ. What a privilege to be souls winner. What a privilege to be an agent of revival. What a privilege, O Lord, to be an agent, O God, an instrument of restoration. Father, we are grateful even for availing us this opportunity. Lord, thank you. We are grateful to you because you said we shall not be, O God, fishermen anymore, but we shall be fishers of men. Thank you, O Lord, for taking away from our hands those things, O God, that has no eternal value and giving us those things that has eternal value. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, I pray, O Lord, as we have heard your word this day, I pray, O Lord, for grace for every one of us who have heard your word to follow you, O God, faithfully in the name of Jesus. Lord, to follow you, O God, according to your own timing in the name of Jesus. Lord, to follow you, O God, with all of our heart, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we shall not be followers of men, O God, who will lead us astray. We shall not be followers, O God, of the world system, but we shall be followers of God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we have agreed in prayer this morning, O God, everything, O God, that has been hindering us even before now, that has not been allowing us to follow you faithfully, Lord, we pray, O Lord, that, Lord, as they have been destroyed, they are destroyed forever in the name of Jesus. Lord, we have been set at liberty, at freedom to follow you, and only you will follow all the days of our lives in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We are grateful to you. Lord, even a time like this, oh God, Lord, that the whole world, oh God, Lord, seems to be in a state of confusion, state of uncertainty. Father, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. We trust in you, oh God. We pray, oh Lord, as your people, Lord, who bears the mark of Jesus upon our lives. We pray, oh Lord, that, Lord, you will continue to give us direction in the name of Jesus. We shall not, oh God, live a life of uncertainty in the name of Jesus. Lord, we shall not live a life of discouragement in the name of Jesus. We shall not live a life of, oh God, depression in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall not live a life of, oh God, losses in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Almighty Father, Lord, your word says that we should be sober, we should be vigilant because of our adversary who's walking around like a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. Lord, we pray because in a time like this, the enemy is looking for whom to devour. I pray for all my brethren, everyone, oh God, that has identified with you in Jesus' palace. None of us, oh God, shall be devoured by the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, we shall not suffer, oh God, devourer of life. Our life shall not be devoured in Jesus' name. Lord, marriages, oh God, shall not be devoured in the name of Jesus. Lord, our jobs will not be devoured in the name of Jesus. Our health will not be devoured in the name of Jesus. Lord, our, oh God, finances will not be devoured in the name of Jesus. Lord, ministry of business will not be devoured in the name of Jesus. Lord, no family shall be devoured in the name of Jesus. Every agent of devourer, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we slaughter them around our lives in Jesus' name. Lord, we slaughter them, oh God, by the sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. They will not prevail over our lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, the Bible says, why men are saying there is a casting down? Is that the Lord that shall be a lifting up? Lord, even in a time like this, oh God, that there shall be a lifting up, oh God, to every one of us, oh God, as your people in Jesus' palace, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, as many, oh God, Lord, as I trust you, oh God, for one thing or the other that is legitimate, Lord, even unto them, because the Bible says that surely there is only an end, but the expectation shall not be cut off. We pray in the name of Jesus that every such expectation, Lord, you will meet in the name of Jesus. You will exceed those expectations, oh God, of your people in the name of Jesus. As we go forth in this week, Lord, we commit our lives unto you. Be our shepherd, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Guide us through this week in the name of Jesus. Lord, see us through in the name of Jesus. Let us be victorious, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every barrier, every obstacle on the way, Lord, we uproot them in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As individual, as a church, oh God, we are victorious in the name of Jesus because we have a God who is the Lord of us. The Bible says the name of our God is a strong tower. He writes your run into it, and they are said, Lord, as a church, oh God, we join our faith together, we run unto your name. Lord, keep us safe in the name of Jesus. Keep us safe from any form of, oh God, deadly sickness or disease in the name of Jesus. We shall not be partaker of it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, when we come together again, it shall be testimonies to the glory of your name. Thank you, our Father. We appreciate you because you hear and answer prayer. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed.